naturally connected with its respective legion, but occasionally separated to act in the line and to compose a part of the wings of the army. The cavalry of the emperors was no longer composed, like that of the ancient republic, of the noblest youths of Rome and Italy, who, by performing their military service on horseback, prepared themselves for the offices of senator and consul, and solicited, by deeds of valour, the future suffrages of their countrymen. Since the alteration of manners in government, the most wealthy of the equestrian order were engaged in the administration of justice and of the revenue, and whenever they embraced the profession of arms, they were immediately entrusted with a troop of horse or a cohort of foot. Trajan and Hadrian formed their cavalry from the same provinces and the same class of their subjects, which recruited the ranks of the legion. The horses were bred, for the most part, in Spain or Cappadocia. The Roman troopers despised the complete armour with which the cavalry of the East was encumbered. Their most useful arms consisted in a helmet, an oblong shield, light boots, and a coat of mail. A javelin and a long broadsword were their principal weapons of offence. The use of lances and of iron maces they seem to have borrowed from the barbarians. The safety and honour of the empire were principally entrusted to the legions, but the policy of Rome condescended to adopt every useful instrument of war. Considerable levies were regularly made among the provincials, who had not yet deserved the honourable distinction of Romans. Many dependent princes and communities, dispersed round the frontiers, were permitted for a while to hold their freedom and security by the tenure of military service. Even select troops of hostile barbarians were frequently compelled or persuaded to consume their dangerous valour in remote climates and for the benefit of the state. All these were included under the general name of auxiliaries, and howsoever they might vary according to the difference of times and circumstances, their numbers were seldom much inferior to those of the legions themselves. Nor was the legion destitute of what, in modern language, would be styled a train of artillery. It consisted in 10 military engines of the largest and 55 of a smaller size, but all of which, either in an oblique or horizontal manner, discharged stones and darts with irresistible violence. The camp of a Roman legion presented the appearance of a fortified city. As soon as the space was marked out, the pioneers carefully levelled the ground and removed every impediment that might interrupt its perfect regularity. Its form was an exact quadrangle, and we may calculate that a square of about 700 yards was sufficient for the encampment of 20,000 Romans, though a similar number of our own troops would expose to the enemy a front of more than treble that extent. In the midst of the camp, the praetorium, or general's quarters, rose above the others. The cavalry, the infantry, and the auxiliaries occupied their respective stations. The streets were broad and perfectly straight, and a vacant space of 200 feet was left on all sides between the tents and the rampart. The rampart itself was usually 12 feet high, armed with a line of strong and intricate palisades, and defended by a ditch of 12 feet in depth as well as in breadth. This important labour was performed by the hands of the legionaries themselves, to whom the use of the spade and the pickaxe was no less familiar than that of the sword or pilum. Active valour may often be the present of nature, but such patient diligence can be the fruit only of habit and of discipline. Whenever the trumpet gave a signal of departure, the camp was almost instantly broke up, and the troops fell into their ranks without delay or confusion. Beside their arms, which the legionaries scarcely considered as an encumbrance, they were laden with their kitchen furniture, the instruments of fortification, and the provision of many days. Under this weight, which would oppress the delicacy of a modern soldier, they were trained by a regular step to advance in about 6 hours, near 20 miles. On the appearance of an enemy, they threw aside their baggage, and by easy and rapid evolutions, converted the column of march into an order of battle. The slingers and archers skirmished in the front. The auxiliaries formed the first line and were seconded or sustained by the strength of the legions. The cavalry covered the flanks, and the military engines were placed in the rear. Such were the arts of war by which the Roman emperors defended their extensive conquests and preserved a military spirit, at a time when every other virtue was oppressed by luxury and despotism. If, in the consideration of their armies,